mean, we're gonna. I'd like to take this message and I'd like to speak on singing. Singing, please. So we're going to start in Psalm number 40. Psalm number 40. Psalm 40, which really is an extension of my gospel message last night as we were thinking about the song of the redeemed or the song of the saved last night in the gospel. I just want to follow on now and look at the topic of singing as we see a few little examples from the scriptures. So we're going to actually take a number of readings and then we'll just pull a few thoughts together under a few headings and a few comments to try and help us and encourage us in our Christian life. Psalm number 40, and we're going to read the first three verses. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now come over to the book of Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 26. We were here on Saturday with our brother Raymond. Matthew chapter 26. And we just want verse 30. Matthew 26, verse 30, and when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. That word hymn is psalm. When they had sung a psalm, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Acts chapter 16, please. Acts chapter 16. And again, this verse has been referenced this weekend. Acts chapter 16, and we just want verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Over to Ephesians, please. Ephesians and chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians, please. Colossians and chapter 3. We'll just read a few verses here from verse 12 to verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, starting from verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Revelation chapter 1, please. Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 5 and 6. Now, I don't claim that this is a song but it's the basis of Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. And then just over to chapter 5, our final reading, please. Just where we were last night, we're not going to read the whole chapter like we did yesterday. We're just going to read from verse 9 onwards to the end of the chapter. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the living ones, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four living ones said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word. So I'd like to look at the topic of singing. Singing is such an integral part of our lives, isn't it? Singing is something that just is so close to the heart. It is so carefully woven into the fabric of our society. And I want to frame up my thoughts this afternoon under a few headings. We're going to think about singing and holiness. We're going to think about singing as heralds, and we'll go back over these if you can't write as quick as I speak. Singing and holiness, we're going to think about singing as heralds. We're going to think about singing in heaviness. We're going to think about singing in our hearts. And then we're going to close with the thoughts of singing in heaven. I've read a wide variety of verses, just struggling just to capture a few verses to be able to draw these few thoughts together. We're going to start with the first one, which was singing in holiness. Repeatedly throughout the Old Testament scriptures, and again a couple of times in the book of the Revelation, we have references to a new song. A new song. And that's why I read in Psalm 40, because there it talks about the experience of us being lifted up out of the miry clay, of being established and our feet upon a rock. And it's a little picture there of salvation, isn't it? It can also be a picture of restoration, of one that has gone astray and is being brought back. But I want to think about this afternoon and not quite this afternoon. I want to think of it this morning in relation to our salvation. And as part of our salvation, God has put into our heart a new song. And I want to think a little bit about the thought of singing in holiness. That is, that there were those songs that were in our minds and in our hearts before we were saved. The songs of the world, the lyrics of the world, the tunes and those and the types of music that were in the world. And we were thinking on Saturday about the truth of baptism, weren't we? That when we got saved, we died with Christ, we've been buried and we've been raised again to walk in newness of life. We read extensively there in the Romans chapter 6, wasn't it, about the fact that sin and all of that that was associated with our old life and our old man, and that it should not have dominion over us. You know, we can't escape it. The first 6 years of my career, I worked in a workshop as a joiner. There's just a continual hum of machinery. And yet over the top of the machinery, there's the speakers around the wall and there's the music of the world blasting. We're in a high noise environment. We've all got earplugs or muffs on to try and protect our hearing, and yet above all of that, you can hear the music of the world. Now, that was quite hard as a young Christian. Just struggling to appreciate the hymns and the songs that we have, and yet you've got this continual in your mind and in your ears. And to this day, I can walk into a retail shop and I can hear some of those songs, and immediately your mind just goes straight to them. It's just there. But what I want to bring out of this is that there's singing and holiness, and that those things should not be, for those of us here that are younger, they should not be in our playlists. There's lyrics that are dark, that are evil, that are counter to the scriptures. So many of the lyrics that are written these days are just completely cut across the truth of God. We just want to be careful and protect ourselves, don't we? Saturate yourself with the songs of holiness. A new song. I'm in Christ, I'm a new creature, I have a new master, I have new desires and new interests. Singing as heralds. Also there in Psalm 40, as we read there, not only did he say he put a new song in our mouth, a song of praise to our God, but it closed by saying that many will see it and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So not just something for me inside, but something for me to express and for others to hear. So not only do you have that in Psalm 40, the thought that many will see it and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Psalm 105 says, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Can you see the nature of our singing? And for them, it is the thought of the people. In the context of the nation of Israel, the people was themselves. And so for them, their way of singing and their way of expressing the goodness of God in their lives and what he'd done for them was to be through song, and others would hear it. And the people would hear it. But not only just for their own. But what about Psalm 96? O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Verse 3 says, declare his glory among the heathen. Not now just among the family and your own people, but now amongst the world. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Singing as heralds. Allowing the appreciation of God and what he has done for me to be known through the way in which we sing. But then I wanted to touch briefly on singing in heaviness. You know, you go, hold on, John, just a moment. I can't sing when I'm down in the dumps. I can't sing when I'm all heavy. I want to just bring before you three little verses. Psalm 137, a very well-known psalm, isn't it? It's a psalm there where Israel is lamenting the fact that they are being encouraged to sing the songs of Zion while they're in Babylon. How can we sing this Lord's song in a strange land? How can we do all of that? And it's the thought there of discipline, isn't it? As you read through there, it's also the thought of mockery. They were taunting them. Come on, sing us a song of Zion. And so that there, but as you read through it, they remind themselves that they should not ever forget the goodness of God, or in that case, it was really the place of God. And singing is one way that we can, that is great for memory. Singing is something that allows us to remember and to keep remembering the goodness of God. So not only the thought of Psalm 137 and Israel and Babylon under discipline. We read in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, Paul and Silas in prison. And now not discipline, but rather persecution. And here they are, they're praying and they're singing praises audibly in the prison. The prisoners are hearing them. And they were able to sing despite the heaviness of the situation that they were in. So Babylon, Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. But what about the Lord on the night in which he was betrayed? I find that very sobering. On the night in which he was betrayed, he sang a hymn. The anticipation and the weight and the heaviness of what he was about to go through. And he knew everything. We go through times of heaviness and we don't know, do we? We don't know what's ahead of us. We have to trust the Lord for that. But the Lord knew absolutely every intricate detail of the next 48 hours. And he sang him. You got those halal hymns, Psalms 113 to 118, I believe it is. And they were there, and they were those songs that they sang. Songs that took them through the journeys of God and his goodness and their historical journey as a nation and the goodness of God. And it came up to that crescendo in Psalm 118. And some of those psalms were to be sung on their journey up, and some of them were to be sung in the temple, and some of them were to be sung in the environment of their home as they were keeping the Passover. And so he sang a hymn. I came across this statement in my study notes from a couple of years ago. I think it might have been from our brother Stephen Baker, but it may have been you, Maria, so don't take offense. We don't only sing because circumstances are good, but because God is good. I love that. So often we only want to sing when we're feeling good. We don't only sing because circumstances are good, but because God is good. God give us the grace to have a song in our hearts, even if we are going through a time of heaviness. You know, some of David's psalms came out of heaviness, didn't they? And yet as he writes those psalms and as he sings them as they were intended to be sung, they often lead to a place of joy. They often lead to a place of renewed trust in God. They often lead to a renewed energy and ability to carry on despite the trial that he's in. And so you've got the thought of singing in heaviness. We went to Ephesians chapter 5, and there we read about singing in our hearts, singing in our hearts. In Ephesians, the context leading up to these statements is really that we're not to be characterized by the things that used to characterize us before we were saved. It just talks, and I'm not going to go into all of those details, but you read chapter 5 in its entirety and you can see the context. And he's warning about some of those things that used to characterize us. And he says, I don't want that to characterize you now. What I want to characterize you now is to be filled with the Spirit. And I'll just go to it so I don't misquote it. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That follows on from that little statement about we don't only sing when circumstances are good, but because God is good, isn't it? It's an appreciation of what he's done for us. It's an appreciation of who he is. And we're to have this, we're to speak to ourselves. When we get to Colossians, we're speaking to each other, but Ephesians, we're speaking to ourselves. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we're making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And so it's what's in here, and that's going to express with praise to the Lord, isn't it? It's making sure that those songs that are in here are those that lead to praise to the Lord. You know, I, by virtue of my job, I spend a lot of time driving. About 900 kilometres a week is sort of my average. So as you can imagine, I'm in my car a lot by myself. And I love singing. I love singing. That's where I learn new hymns. That's where I come up with a few lines to compose a new hymn or a few thoughts that I've appreciated. But that's where I'm singing along and I've got my playlist going. Connected to my car and I've got those songs, and often just maybe a quiet word to younger ones as you're just assembling your own playlist. Just make sure that they're in character with the songs of holiness. You know, with the advancement of technology these days, you can put together your own little playlist of hymns that you like. And you start your journey and you start the playlist, and there's 15, 18, 50 whatever songs in the playlist. And when you get to the end of your playlist, Apple Music or Spotify, whatever is the app of choice for you, it will often bump out into the open market. And it will look at the nature of the songs that you've been listening to, and then it will start trying to bring in others. But they're never quite the same. And almost immediately hold on, that's not one of mine. And some of them are okay, and you can enjoy an artist that you haven't heard of. But occasionally, you'll get another one that comes in, and you think, actually, that's definitely not. You pull over, you stop it. You get it back onto another playlist. Just protect your music, please. Protect it, because it gets into your heart, and your singing should be that which is within you that should exalt and praise and glorify your Lord and Savior. Just protect that. There's so many hymns and beautiful hymns that are there. And just enjoy them and use them to glorify your Father which is in heaven. Colossians chapter 3, I chose to read a little bit more there just because of the wider context. There it's not so much singing to yourself, but it's singing to others. And that's why I read the wider context, because it's all about our interaction with others, isn't it? And so he starts that subject there in verse 12. And he's talking about mercy. He's talking about kindness. He's talking about humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, forgiveness, love, and thankfulness. But he doesn't leave us empty. He goes, how are you going to do that? And he pulls through two thoughts. Verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As we interact with others, and as we try to characterize all of those thoughts, and our brother Raymond talked briefly about that this morning in relation to the fruit of the Spirit. But as we're going to interact with each other, there needs to be all of those virtues that we were reading about. But they're going to come out of these two things: allowing the peace of God to rule, to preside in our hearts. and allowing the Word of Christ to dwell in our hearts, to read it. And we were thinking about that on the Saturday, weren't we? It's about the reading of the Bible and the ability to absorb the Word of God and allow it just to come in to settle into your heart. And that's the setting. That's the setting that he then uses to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But he doesn't stop there. He adds a little bit more. I want you to do it with grace. Grace. Teaching and admonishing each other through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I want you to do it with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then he closes out verse 17. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So that's singing in holiness, singing as heralds, singing in heaviness, singing in our hearts. I wanted to just finish a little bit briefly on singing in heaven. I enjoyed looking at this, searching the scriptures, trying to find examples of singing in heaven. I know some people say that angels don't sing, but I'm not convinced of that. I'll agree to disagree if you hold that, and I won't fall out with you. In Job 38, God is challenging Job. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? In verse 7, and the sons of God sang. Song of creation. Isaiah chapter 6, we all know that very, very well, don't we? Those seraphim as they're flying and as they're covering covering themselves and as they're singing, it's a song of appreciation. Holy, holy, holy. As the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. A song of appreciation. I thought of Luke chapter 2. By the way, that's the only two I could find in the Old Testament, so if you know of any others, please let me know. Luke chapter 2, a song of incarnation. The angel came down to announce to those shepherds the wonderful news that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And there was with that angel an immediate heavenly host, singing and praising God. Song of incarnation, the coming of the Saviour into the world. I thought of Luke chapter 15, the parable there. Joy in the presence of the angels of heaven over each sinner that repents. A song of salvation. Revelation chapter 4. A thought there of a song of exaltation. Just worshipping God for who he is. Just appreciating the greatness and the goodness and the glory of God. And that's a song that all can join in with. Because it's not specific to salvation or redemption. It's just a song of exaltation of God himself. We thought yesterday about the song of redemption, didn't we? The song of the redeemed, the song of the saved, but just to keep my train of thought going, the song of redemption. And what I really appreciated about that, and we read from verse 9 onwards, you've got distinct breaks. And it starts with those that are the saved, singing and appreciating their redemption. And that just triggers others to join in. But note how they join in. Because they don't join in, the angelic host don't join in with the same song of redemption, do they? Oh, they acknowledge the Lamb and his worthiness, but it's not related to redemption. It's related to his worthiness. And then that brings in all of creation. And they acknowledge his greatness and his glory and his majesty. And all of that. And it just creates this ongoing flow of worship. But each group that is singing intelligently. Intelligently within the context of their relationship to the Lord. make sure you're singing intelligently. There's a little bit of license when it comes to writing of, composing of hymns and writing of hymns, and they're not always completely 100% doctrinally accurate. And there's some, especially I've noticed in some of the newer, more contemporary hymns that are just coming through, there's thoughts that are not entirely accurate. There was a very popular song when I grew up, and it was using one of David's psalms, "Lord, take not your spirit from me." He can't do that. We've got the Holy Spirit within us. He can't take it from us. But it was a song that was so popular in my age group as we were growing up, and so many were singing it lustily. And I just I felt a challenge and a difficulty singing that because I felt it was wrong. So just a quiet encouragement to sing intelligently. Learn your Bible and sing the songs that bring honor and glory to Him. In Revelation chapter 15, you've got the thought of a song of expectation. A blending together of the song of Moses' song of redemption, that's back in Exodus. Exodus chapter 14 there, that's the first recorded song in our Bibles. And the song of the Lamb, where we're just looking here, and that's where I wonder if that's coming, is that is coming from Revelation chapter 1. And it's a blending together of all of that, and it's anticipating this one that is going to come forth in all his glory. So it's a song of expectation, the blending of the song of Moses, song of redemption, and the song of the Lamb. Finally, Revelation chapter 19, I've thought of the song of celebration. The Lamb and the Bride. A song of celebration. We're going to be there. You know, as we think about these songs of heaven, just put in the context of just the tiny little time that we've got on this earth, compared to the vastness and the unending nature of eternity. That's the type of songs that we're going to be singing for then. Shouldn't that be the songs that we're learning now? The nature of the songs that we're learning now? Things that can help us and carry us through, and that we can express. Songs of holiness, songs as heralds, songs in heaviness, songs in our hearts, and ultimately songs in heaven. Just to close, I want to quote Psalm 147 and verse 3. "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." The psalmist there uses a slightly different word for three things, but it's all very similar. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good. It's good, it's beautiful, it's a good thing. It's good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant. And the thought there is to be delightful or lovely. And praise is comely. It's a thought of being beautiful, or it's fitting, it's appropriate. Just a few thoughts just to bring it all together and just encourage us, each one of us, in our worship and praise and in our interaction with each other. And as we go through the our lives living for Him in this way, may the Lord bless His word to us and just encourage us on our way to Him. Maybe just a quick song just to close, number 20 in our Sankeys, please. Just two verses of number 20. "Come sing, my soul, and praise the Lord, who hath redeemed thee by his blood, delivered thee from chains that bound, and brought thee to redemption ground." Verse 2, "Once from my God I wandered far, and with his holy will made war. But now my songs to God abound, I'm standing on redemption ground." Just those two verses with the chorus, rising to sing hymn number 20.